Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show.
You're on.
Today, what I was going to talk about, I have Calvin Griffin here with me, and we're going to be talking about the U.S. vets, and some of the issues. And though we get off on a ragged start, we'll fine tune it as we go.
Okay.
But we talked a while back about the U.S. vets and Veterans Administration, and some of the other problems that go along with it. And we know there are a lot of people that are homeless. And the U.S. vets, they are a vendor, a contractor who has gotten money from the government, federal government, city governments, whomever they go out and get their nonprofit, I'm told.
Yeah.
But there's been some problems over at a partnership program between the U.S. vets and YWCA and the Veterans Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, who worked on this for a while now, and there's Tina Quizon, who is a client there. She's a veteran, spent 5 years in the Navy, is there in that facility, and it all starts fine and until she wanted to film an event, a gala event of shrimp and barbecue and all the fancy things that the YWCA sponsored by. It was a dog and pony show, to best describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was denied that right to videotape for her show, but there were other media there. And subsequent to that, a number of the clients along with her actually appeared on the show, called in, and complained about their treatment that they received of the U.S. vets.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, you've talked to Ron Hahn, and you've intervened and met with him, and I've called Ron Hahn. I've talked to Daryl Vincent, and you and I met with Daryl Vincent, and we'll share that with the listeners, what the problem was or what we have now.
Uh-huh.
But moving forward, and we'll add a bit more to this, is that after we met with Daryl Vincent, and we thought everything was fine, uh-huh, as he conveyed to us, and he has issued Quizon a letter of eviction.
Yeah.
And she would be evicted from that facility on the 14th. So go ahead.
Yeah. No, during my conversation, excuse me, I choked up when I get on the air. During my conversation, of course, that we had with him anyhow, it was indicated that there would be a investigation or some kind of trying to find out what was happening. And we're waiting for the results of that. Last time I did talk with Mr. Vincent, he expressed his concern about, of course, the system and about things that need to be corrected. He didn't acknowledge that. But still in all, at this point right now, we're still, the investigation that's going on or purported to be going on, I think is a little bit, the way Ms. Quizon was being treated, I think it was a little bit premature as far as her being dismissed from the program. I think if there's anything that needs to be done or any changes that have been made, it should have been done after the investigation or without looking into it was completed. But at this point, it's like, you know, to me, like I said, it's premature that she should be expelled from this program.
Mm-hmm.
And as you talked about before, and one of the things that, you know, we both say, this is not about Ms. Quizon. This is about the system in general, the way things are going, because right now, as far as with the system of the YWCA in conjunction with the U.S. vets, they have a 20-bed program up there, and it's only filled by 5 people, you know. And then that opens up a lot of questions about other things, you know. Like, say, since this thing has been in place, why is it taking so long to go ahead and fill these beds when we do have homeless vets out there, you know?
Right.
And I think this week Mr. Vincent went on the program on the news with the mayor, extolling the virtues of this new homeless initiative that's coming up. And, again, I mean, we have so many with the homeless vets out there, especially female. You know, why do they have to get out there and start a whole new program when they already have something in place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's other issues with non-veterans that needs to be addressed also.
Well, my purpose of this is to, this discussion is to lay it out the exact, without muddling, confusing the issue or the statements or the actions. I want it to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
This process is part of this program, partnership with the YWCA, the U.S. vets, is part of a nationwide $28.45 million program. as I'm informed by Vincent and others closely affiliated with that program, 20 beds, as you stated, and they have large funding there at the YWCA. They right now, I'm told, as we speak, have maybe six people, maybe. And they've been there now, we're going on in our fifth. They started in December, I think, or November, whenever. So 5 months, they've taken federal monies with the promise that they would be delivering 20 beds, and yet they're struggling to keep six in, and they're talking about evicting Tina Quezon. And we'll get to some of the specifics. So the problem that I have with this, and I've pointed out and shared it with others before on the show, is that it's one thing to discuss whether we're going to save her from eviction, but we would be derelicting our responsibilities, not duties, but to speak the truth, and that is what she is being charged for is utterly ridiculous, manufactured, basically involving, and we'll get in greater details, where they even had them to go and participate in one of the employees' church function and pass out pamphlets. The problem here is that you and I, let's speak to Vincent. I invited him on the show today. And as you know, I invited him and told him to give me a call if he'd open an invitation we'd set up. To date, have not received anything. But Vincent said to us, you and I are African-American, right? And he's African-American, and I don't remember the cliche that he had, but we're being that we're basically insinuating that because we are black, we can work together. And my remarks to him were, I can work with anyone as long as you're just, observe the constitutional rights of citizens, then you and I are brothers. But as far as you're concerned, Mr. Vincent, the behavior that you and your organization has displayed toward this veteran and others doesn't rise to the level of being independent, respecting the rights of free citizens, and especially the rights of the veterans. That I want to make that disclosure. So, again, you and I talked to him about the, there was one incident where the YWCA told, claimed, they wrote a letter that they videotaped, there's a security camera. They went back and rolled the camera back to see, to view Tina Quezon removing two coffee creamers from the refrigerator. Now, you and I spoke to Vincent about this.
Yes.
Vincent, what was his remarks? He said to us something to the effect that, Mr. Cox, now you know that would be, that is embarrassing, and I don't know anything about it, but I will get into it. And that's the last thing of concern, is that two creamers, that's embarrassing to even hear this, but I haven't read it. I don't know anything about it. And we should be making food available. This is paraphrasing. For the veterans. I would hate like heck to be viewed as being someone denying someone of food subsequent to that meeting, amongst other things, and we'll speak to them. His organization sent this lady, Tina Quezon, a eviction letter. Transition, they call it, transition / eviction. And one of the reasons, the justification, was that she took two coffee creamers from the refrigerator.
Well, first off, I mean, it's totally ridiculous. And the thing is, for them to go ahead and have the time, even if there was something that transpired and she did, why? It seems like they're stockpiling different charges on her now, building this thing up. When I talked to Mr. Vincent, same thing. He expressed his concern about the system, about, things that need to be corrected. As far as with this incident with the coffee creamer and, like I say, he acknowledged that there were some problems. But I don't know. You can't really put your finger on it. Like I say, that there's something wrong. And no matter what, and when I talked to Mr. Vincent, I was really, to be honest with you, I was really disappointed in our last conversation, where it was... I don't know. He seems very defensive. You know, it was like he had an explanation for a lot of things, but it didn't hit to the crux of what the situation and about addressing what's going on with the system here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what really got to me. You know, mm-hmm. it's the lack of transparency. You know, the thing that you mentioned previously about being brothers and everything else. My feeling is the fact that especially when you're talking about veterans in general. If you're a veteran, you're a veteran. I don't give a rat's butt what color you are. It doesn't make any difference to me, you know? And if for some people who could justify their actions as far as even, you know, if somebody moves me about to the front of the line, all right,
mm-hmm.
I want to know why you moved me to the front of the line. If that's not justified for me not being there.
No, I want to know why you got moved to the front.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. The system has to be fair and equitable. It doesn't
right.
make any difference, like say, what the problem is, what the situation is here. I mean, as far as putting up with your skin color,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be with taking the responsibility. And with what we've been talking about in previous programs and, of course, what we're addressing here now is a lack of transparency and a lack of fairness in the system.
Mm-hmm.
The system is screwed up. The
mm-hmm.
system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking the fact, like, say, you got people who are literally dying, their families, like, say, are being financial chaos and things of this nature, and you would tell me you got to make excuses for why things are not being done,
mm-hmm.
the thing is when they come up with these different programs with the YWCA and all these different initiatives and everything else, we keep hearing the same thing. This is what we're proposing to do. What they should do is have these things worked out beforehand, all the nuts and bolts, everything in place, and then they turn around and say, okay, this is a program, this is what we're going to do, it's going to happen today. You know,
right.
Don't give me a year and a half down the road where, okay, we're looking into it, we're forming a committee
mm-hmm.
to address these issues. It has to be done now. And the thing is, a lot of these programs, the so-called programs, they're either underfunded or understaffed. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's intentional. I said this in private, and again, I say this in public. I believe the system is designed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that's wrong that doesn't make any logical excuse mm-hmm. or reason why those veterans are being, you know, treated the way they are. And the thing is, another clarification. There's two parts to the VA. You have the medical and you have the benefits. The benefit side is the one that's really screwed up here. There's very few people that I've ever heard, like I said, had any complaints about the treatment within the medical system as far as with the doctors, nurses, or the practitioners up there. The thing is getting into the system, and that's been the main problem. Because what's happening with the military, and you and I both know, like
mm-hmm.
say, there's certain things as far as the national security we have to go ahead and do to protect our troops and everything else. But there's been so many secret experimentation programs that's been done on our troops. A lot of them are screwed up, and they have no idea why. And just trying to get into the system to get it identified, that
mm-hmm.
in itself is a whole new different, you know, that the bells and whistles and the hoops you got to run through is a totally different thing. Later on, if you allow me, there's one thing, Project Shad. I'll just mention that real quick, but I'll get into it later if you allow me the time. But that was another secret experiment that happened in the 60s with the Navy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like I said, were affected, and they still have no idea what's going on.
Well, what I want to do is talk about the project's screw-up here.
Okay.
We'll talk about Chad, but this is what has been why the veteran struggles with recovery, because people that are in place,
that's the problem,
receiving monies that simply, you know, when he's told me that the three of us are brothers, you know, to me then that told me the VA's program, his program, sucked the entire thing. Because yes, I'm one of the proudest black people you've ever known. I'm proud. I mean, I just love looking at my family, and they're beautiful dark skin. I'm not as dark, but you know, the gray hair, I mean, I love that.
But you can't pass for black.
But yeah, well, Puerto Rican maybe or some. But again, I was offended not for the basic reason, but the fact that this man, we have invested trust, money, and the future and welfare of other human beings. I didn't react at the time, but I hold people accountable when they speak in those terms, when they view that we're brothers. So what? We're supposed to back off and not make you accountable to the way you treat other human beings? And so, good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Technical problems.
Good morning, caller. Hello? Good morning, caller.
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, hey, Carol. You know, this is just so outrageous when you think about, I mean, these are veterans that have been through all kinds of trauma, and then this new trauma, which is having to be homeless, and then to get evicted from a place that we would bring protection from the streets. I mean, that's what they need. They need stability. They need a place to live. They need good programs to get them back on their feet, maybe, or just to get them stabilized. And what I went through, and us folks went through, and they continue to go through the Next Step shelter, and the coffee creamers. you're affected for stealing a teaspoon of sugar or something that should have been put in the coffee, and that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
And it's just totally asinine because they don't seem to understand that.
Right.
I mean, these are folks that are in really real trauma, and they surely don't need to be evicted for some stupid asinine little petty thing, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my two bits.
All right.
You guys keep on the good side.
Thank you. And then we're going to be talking another hour on this, but I do apologize for all the glitches, but hang in there, hang in there with us, folks, and it's going to. Okay, Dave. Thank you. Aloha.
Sure. Aloha.
Okay.
Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question? Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Yeah. Mr. Cox, this is Wendell Lum.
Yes.
Yeah, I talked to you about the new source of energy to make electricity, that solid oxide fuel cell technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost your phone number.
Okay, well, I have yours, and we'll have to hook up and talk on it again. But right now, we're on a different subject, all right, Wendell?
Well, I'm meeting with Kelvin Fay on the 16th this month, a few days from now.
Okay.
But, send me an email.
All righty, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Anyway, I want to read. This is a comment from that Daryl Vincent, and it just so happened. This is the whole process of the front line story in the Hawaii, the Honolulu Advertiser on Friday the 10th of this month. City tackles shelter first. And the same culprits, there's Colin Kippen, there's now it's a new one, Kirk Caldwell, but he was the city manager. So he's been involved in this shuffling and beating the homeless around.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard something alarming the other day where they want to take the $35 million of HUD money meant for homeless or related to homelessness and housing. And they don't believe that the nonprofits out there can handle that much money and could spend it in the time limit that HUD. So they wanted, and the quotation is something to the effect that they would use some of the money, when asked by Kobayashi, they would use some of the money for doing sidewalks. So, but anyway, this is, the public should be, I shouldn't say what they should be, but my reaction to this. And then here's Daryl Vincent. It's as if it's a club, and they all just gravitate around one another when there's an issue, or they want to speak to the, or want to take some criminal act, or defraud the public, and do nothing for the homeless.
Yeah.
They all seem to know how to contact one another for these articles. And here's one, for example. Daryl Vincent, chief operating officer for the U.S. Vets, said his organization and the Institute of Human Services already have contracts with the state to provide, quote, housing first assistance to up to 24 people each. Vincent said it makes sense for the city to give the project 2 years. There's a learning curve, he said. You have to get the landlord on board. And that takes time, and you want to have all the units furnished before they even move in there. Once you get in, get it going, the synergy grows, and then people are able to see the approach and start buying into it. No, the people start buying into the BS.
Yeah.
This is what's happening, and this is what they're selling us. And while he is talking, I mean, he is being presented in every occasion as a beacon of hope, when here he has a program at YWCA that he's supposed to be a flagship for women,
yeah.
And here he is failing and can't rise to the occasion of filling the 20 beds that they have now for 5 months and can't deliver the vocational, and yet he has the audacity, and they have the audacity to invite him to have comment. I'm sorry. And while he's evicting, this is why we shouldn't do drugs and get promoted. You see, we take aspirin and we feel full of ourselves, our blood flow, and, you know, now we're ready to go. So he needs to lay off the aspirins or something, because this is just wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm really surprised that Mr. Vincent didn't decide to take you up on your offer to come on the program, because, again, it doesn't, you know, I'm quite sure you and I don't want to seem like it's one side of whatever when we're addressing these issues. He should have came on a program and discussed these things. You gave me ample opportunity, like, say, to step up to the plate, to go ahead and get publicly address these issues and either correct you or myself if there's something that we said wrong or did wrong, which I know that you're never wrong on anything.
Well, I'm always wrong. Believe it.
But the thing is, I believe that, like, say, when you're bringing something up, like, say, that the individual should be able to go ahead and publicly address it. And the thing is, do you have a caller?
Yeah, go ahead. Finish it.
Yeah. The thing is about this learning curve, that's ridiculous.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I have a comment. My name is Carolyn Galoyu, and I'm a social worker, and I happen to be on site at the YWCA's Veterans Women's Shelter on Thursday. And when I found out, number one, I was there because I called Carol to connect me with a friend, and I couldn't believe what I found when I got there. That you probably already said this, I just tuned in now, but out of the 20 available beds, only 6 were being used.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked with Jennifer at the shelter, she said that, when I asked what was the capacity at the shelter, she told me 20, and I said, well, how many are filled at this time? She said 6. I said, oh, that causes me concern. I said, what about the 14 beds? I said, you know. And she turned around and said, well, we have 2 women coming in today that could possibly help fill them. Well, that still doesn't add up to even half. And so as I was leaving later that morning, my friend and I walked out with this woman, and she was carrying, it looked like, everything she owned. And I asked her, Tina asked her, are you going to be joining us? And she said, no, I can't come until July, I was told. And Tina asked her if she had a room for the night, and she said, oh, yes, I'm okay. But she put her head down. And as a studier of physical,
body language.
I thought, no, she doesn't.
Yep.
And I thought, wait a second. I had just been told that they were going to be interviewing people for possible. And so I'm thinking, wait a second. What is going on here? But there's more to my story, but I don't want to take up all your time. So all I can say is that I'm appalled that this whole facility is being run without apparently procedures and protocols that are posted for the clients. Some of the one client that I'm familiar with is really being railroaded, and she's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong here?
Yeah. Let me Michelle Shelley McDowell, she is one of the people there at that facility.
Mm-hmm.
And this is she took some of the veterans to the church, her church.
Right.
Now, finding on a website, it's talking about, this is their church, Michelle Shelley McDowell, MED, lives on Oahu in the state of Hawaii. She graduated from the University of Hawaii in 2011 with a master's in educational psychology and a graduate degree in disability and diversity studies. In addition, she and she holds a bachelor's in communication. Got glare here. And Pan-African Studies from California State University, Northridge. She attends church regularly at Pacific Revival Center. Shelley is a case manager at the United States Veterans Initiative, assisting homeless veterans with transitioning into permanent housing. Has worked as a case manager for adults with blindness and development, blah, blah, blah. And Shelley has a heart for all people and loves to give giving back to the community. She enjoys swimming. Anyway, I bring this up to share with you a little tidbit. I contacted Tracy Betts' office, who refused to even acknowledge us or acknowledge me. I don't know if you've had any occasion to talk to her. Refused to call me back. Her secretary receives my calls, refuses. And Taran Matthews, Patricia Taran Matthews, I'm speaking with her, and I, by the way, I asked for a formal comment from the Veterans Administration, and to date, I asked them by Friday, which is last Friday, end of day, they never bothered.
Right.
So this is the arrogance. So here's the problem. Speaking to Taran, I look at Shelley McDowell's and her religious connections and what she did in taking these people to the people were taken to the church by in U.S. Vets vehicle and what have you. And were passing out pamphlets and working in their garage sale. I'm talking to Taran, and she just started to talk over me. Didn't want to, you know. And so I said to her, my God, why are you talking to me as if I'm an animal or monkey or something? Immediately, this was her response. I don't think I'm going to continue this conversation. She said something to that effect. When you use the words God, monkey, and animal and rude in the same sentence, that's it for me.
Jeez.
So,
the thing is, the best defense is a good offense. You know, when they can't answer these questions, or they, you know, we catch them with the pant, with, you know, hanging out there, it's just like, you know, they have to go on the attack mode, you know, and make you look like you're the one that's the aggressor.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping to help the veteran. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Okay. What I found also very disturbing was that I was told, I didn't ask, but Jennifer came out, first we talked, and then she walked away, and so then she came back to me and told me, there's going to be an investigation going on today, and you can't be part of it. She said it's private and confidential, and I hadn't asked, I hadn't said anything about it, although I had seen a flyer posted in the on the bulletin board, and I want to read part of it to you because I thought that this was really sort of ironic. The second paragraph of this, third paragraph of this, second paragraph says, "While attendance is not mandatory, your participation in this investigation is strongly encouraged as U.S. Vets appreciate feedback from all clients on ways to improve the program. Please be advised that the investigator will be on site at 11 a.m. on 5/9. Thank you for your cooperation." Now, what is so ironic to me is it says that they appreciate feedback from the client.
Mm-hmm.
But the client that I was sitting in with has been blackballed, really. I mean, mm-hmm. numerous write-ups. And these are the basis for them to evict her.
Yeah.
Now, what is, and so at the end, without having read that last statement, I suggested that instead of using my friend Tina as a scapegoat, as a whistle, I use the word whistleblower. Instead of viewing her as a whistleblower and a troublemaker, why not use her as a client that has different concerns? And because the program is so new, you know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, which in reality is baseless. I said, why not use her concerns as a way to improve the program so that you don't view her as a whistleblower, as or a troublemaker? And they nodded, and I'm, you know, I'm just hoping that they use that. I did also ask them, you know, I said, I've worked for the government both at state and federal level, both here and in Italy when my husband was stationary, and there are protocols. There are procedures for action. And I was, you know, and so I asked her, I said, I know that it takes time to complete your investigation. Will your investigation be completed in time to keep Tina in the program? Since, you know, it's the 14th that they say she has to be evicted. And they said, well, I have no control over that, was what I was told. So I am concerned. Why are they putting out Tina on the street when there are that many beds available?
Mm-hmm.
She is not of harm to herself or the other clients. She is not causing a riot. She is, and I just am absolutely appalled,
mm-hmm.
absolutely appalled that they mm-hmm. turned away one of the two people they said they were going to interview,
right.
and they have plans to evict Tina. That is unconscionable.
Yeah. Okay, well, hold on.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Good morning. This is Tina Quizon.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Tina.
Carol, hi. I don't have real good reception, so I'm going to try my best to stay on the line,
well,
and I apologize. I'm not been able to follow the radio this morning. You know, as a veteran in this program, I've done nothing, and yet I'm being punished, you know, and I've gotten to see firsthand what others are going through. And I don't want to, and I'm not going to stand for this. I can't stand by and watch this. There's lying, they're manufacturing statements and falsifying things against me, and I'm forced to deal with this crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts all veterans.
Mm-hmm. Well, we came in a few minutes here, but call in the next hour, if you would, a couple of minutes, and find a good location where we can... You're coming in clear now, but you have basically call it slash transition eviction, and I want to share with the listeners that once I was told about that, first of all, I contacted Vincent, and backpedaling. This is why it's so shameful, and I'm very interested in this. It will impact other veterans that he... As serious and as stern as that letter spoke, the language of that letter, he said, at no time have we ever kicked anybody out. We have a transition. Just because she got the letter doesn't mean she's going to be out. We've never done that. You see, so if it's that flexible, this tells me here's a man that's full of his own juice, and it flows whatever his emotions is, and nothing to do with the well-being of the veterans, the well-being or the integrity of this program. And that's what I'm calling into question. And an investigation, originally they had an investigation, as you recall, Calvin, but they didn't do any interviews.
No.
And now they're doing a second investigation, but the investigation is being conducted by Dahlberg, Andrew Dahlberg, who was part of the conspiracy of this whole process with the veterans and this process. Yet his employee, is that correct, Tina? She identified us as an employee, a subordinate of Dahlberg?
Correct.
And in turn, she's doing the investigation on behalf of the veteran. And her boss, she's investigating her boss. When's the last time you heard that? Real quick, and we're going to be getting ready to go to the next hour.
Me? Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know it's usual in the system, like, say, where, you know, the in-house thing where, you know, we're looking at it, we're doing something, and a lot of people mistake activity for action.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're spinning the wheels, they're biding time, hoping that the public will just forget about it and come on with a new subject that, you know, where they can just sweep this under
the rug, you know,
and a little bit later, we'll come back up with the same situation.
Well, and this is a rise to the occasion of giving the fox the key to the hen house,
yeah.
and then months later visit him and ask him, how did they taste? You see, that's how asinine this process is, you know.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to the next hour. Carolyn, will you call back? Yeah, I would love to have you continue to offer this because it's
okay,
kind of
disturbing.
And Tina,
certainly.
You too, if you would, please.
Certainly.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like I say, this is totally ridiculous what's going on, but it keeps the same thing over and over again. You know, we hear the problems come up, and then it's like we're looking into it. And if you keep track of this thing, like 6 months or a year later, it's like, well, you know, you bring it up, we're still looking into it, you know.
Yeah, well, it's shameful.
It's a travesty. That's what it is against our veterans.
It's shameful, and for the VA, yep. if they think that by ignoring and not calling me,
yeah.
Maybe they think you and I are insignificant entities.
Yeah, well.
And I don't know about them, but I value my time and my presence, involvement in things, and you know, so I'm hoping for the sake of humanity, for the sake of calmness, that they do something, because I don't enjoy having to sit here and talk about this. But if it happens, and we're going to talk about go back through and talk about our friend Daryl Vinson and what you and I talked about, but I'm not going to make excuses for him, but
no.
I shared with him where an iPad had been stolen by one of a client at the YWCA, it's reported, and then the YWCA recovers it and then deletes the information on the iPad to conceal, and per their words, to conceal the name of the party who stole the ID, the iPad. So anyway, we'll be back, and please hold in there.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're sitting here and once again, problems in paradise.
Okay. Like say,
so what we are talking about the U.S. veterans and homelessness and its treatment of one particular client. But again, why I'm pursuing this, and I have Calvin Griffin here, and again, we do apologize. We're stumbling over some of the technical concerns, but we'll get past it. The bigger issue is we have a governmental agency that has taken money, tax dollars, with the intent of protecting and enhancing the lives of veteran, and in this case, veteran women. And something is wrong here. We're talking about this, and I want to make it clear. I'm looking at the not the chaos and trying to sort through it. I'm trying to work backwards upstream to find out and share with you why and how is it that a nonprofit vendor who provides a service for a fund, for a fee, to the federal government and is able to run just roughshod over the clients that the Veterans Administration is supposed to be protecting. They handed this matter off, they being the Veterans Administration, handed it off to U.S. vets. And when we first broke the story and started talking about it, the U.S. vet agreed and went there and supposedly corrected things. Now, I'm going to lay out a couple things. We know that I've said that Tina Quezon wanted to film the event where Governor Neil Abercrombie and Kimberly Pine, the city council state representative at the time, and other, quote, dignitaries. I don't know how you could be a dignitary and go eat shrimp and off the barbecue and champagne glasses and valet parking and call yourself a dignitary. You're indignant because it's a vulgar statement to even attend and behave in such a fashion and then not answer or not avail yourself, the government, the Colin Kippens, who came there for the barbecue, but when Quezon or others in that program attempts to reach out for the governor's office, they get a cold shoulder. Tina Quezon wrote, for example, to our illustrious Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. And you know the deal. Tulsi Gabbard, you know, photo opportunity. You can go on her website and others and see she and Daryl Vincent, their big smile. So my question is, how is it that a Tulsi Gabbard can be available for people like Daryl Vincent, but when people like Tina Quezon have problems with Daryl Vincent, Tulsi Gabbard sends her a letter saying, file this letter of request to seek my assistance. Why is it that Daryl Vincent can have direct access to her for a photo opportunity, but the people that is intended for the benefit of these programs have to hop through hoops and hurdles?
Yeah. As you say, totally ridiculous, you know. Like I say, the people that really need it, or like I say, we're, should have access to the individuals who are making these decisions or overlooking or overseeing these different programs, you know, again, like I say, all the different hoops and things you got to jump through is totally ridiculous, you know. That's why the level of frustration, anger out there, like say, among people who are supposed to be served by the system, where they see, like say, you know, they feel like they're left out there. Like say, they do it and don't have anybody to be there for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody, yeah, Ms. Gabbard, you know, Gabbard should open up her doors or, you know, answer her phone and talk to these people.
You can't have a bundle of concerns and care and love for people if you're trying to aspire to become the Speaker of the House or become, you know, from City Council to Representative City Council to Congresswoman.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of her and ashamed of the people that continue to accept her presence as she presents herself. You know, you can't reach her as a veteran, but as a COO of a homeless shelter that's failing, that's not delivering what it was supposed to, and then behaving in this fashion, I'm sorry, they should make available. And the U.S. veterans, they too are just as culpable because they fail to incorporate any concerns or any thoughts until things, for example, how does one know if they're a whistleblower? You're supposed to post it in the workplace.
Yeah.
And EEO, if you feel discriminated against, you, there's a poster. State law requires this. That basic thing alone, they didn't even have that up there.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, in fact, there is evidence and hard evidence for the employees of U.S. Vet tells Quezon, for example, you're a whistleblower. And we're going, you know what happens to whistleblowers. All of this is after Daryl Vincent had supposedly written a letter originally talking about, and he never said that she had had reported violations of her rights. For example, they left her medical records out.
Mm-hmm.
You and I spoke to Daryl Vincent about that.
Right.
He agreed it should never have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, part of the reason for, quote, transitioning and evicting her is that she took possession of her own personal records, medical records, because they were left on the table unsecured with others, right?
Yeah.
That's one. And he claimed, well, I'll go back and, you know, he even said he had disciplined some of his employees on based on some of these allegations at Quezon.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, he turned and then evicts her. Another one was that on the church thing, where they were taken to a church by one of his employees, use of the government vehicle or government funded vehicles.
Yeah.
What did he say? That's wrong. We're still investigating.
Yeah.
But what did he do? He gave Quezon an eviction letter, with that being cited as one of the reasons.
Right.
They told her, Quezon, they told her that she, in fact, was there, had claimed she had gone to a doctor, a dentist.
Right.
And she gave them a receipt maybe a month before or a couple of weeks before to show that she had gone and had this. And in turn, weeks later, she was approached and told she's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have it. They checked with the veterans and she didn't have an appointment.
Right.
Well, she showed him again, and as you and I talked with Daryl Vinson, I gave him the specifics and offered, and what did he say? Oh, Mr. Cox, that's wrong. Yet, Dahlberg entered this incident in her medical records, but they sanitized it. They made no mention that they had called her a lie and tasked her and challenged her. So when it was written, the veteran person decided to sanitize and keep it clean.
Yeah. I can see.
Caller, you there?
Yeah, this is Tina again.
Yeah. Go ahead. You have a comment? You want to pitch in? Tina?
Yes.
Go ahead. You have a comment?
Yes, I do. You know, when they evict me on Tuesday, this is a program that has 20 beds. There's going to be 15 empty beds. And, you know, for months, they didn't deliver services. You know, we were supposed to have workforce, people coming in and helping others with workforce, and they couldn't do that. And yet they forced us to go and work at a church for Shelley, for her private church. You know, so the workforce we're supposed to get, the program, the classes, doesn't happen. And yet they force us to work for free at a church function and pass out flyers. So I just wanted to share another example of some of the things that I've complained about, but everyone ignores, all the way from the VA, Veterans Administration, and here I am being put back on the street.
Right. So we know that this letter, and I don't have a copy in front of me that they gave you. Has Daryl Vincent sat down and interviewed you on the specific details, or did he provide any private investigation or independent investigation to look into your allegations?
No.
Did the U.S. vets ever come to you personally and ask you or to conduct an investigation on anything that you filed a complaint on?
No.
So
everything's been to cover up.
So you also wrote to Shinseki, the illustrious general retired. You wrote to him, and what did you get back from that office, the IG and Shinseki's office?
I've heard nothing back from General Shinseki. In fact, I'm regularly that he doesn't care, and that it's being passed off. The U.S. vet tells me that they're in charge of this investigation, and then Dahlberg, Mr. Andrew Dahlberg at the VA, sits and signs off on the investigation that the U.S. vet does, and yet puts a note that I discover, I don't know if you talked about this earlier, on April 3rd, after being harassed all morning, I went up to the VA. And I was trying to get someone, anyone, to help me with my complaints and to stop the harassment. And I'm turned over to the nurse's hotline, and a gentleman named Mr. Velasquez tells me that, well, Ms. Clazon, that's not true. Mr. Andrew Dahlberg put here right in your file that there's a protocol, there's a plan that you're to go to from your complaint to the patient advocate and the grant per diem. And Carol, this was never ever shared with me. I discovered it.
Right, and then you asked for that document and that information. What did Dahlberg tell you?
First, he denied that there was any such document. Then he told me, he tried to chastise me and say that, well, Mr. Velasquez is not even supposed to be reading that screen to you. And then I said, well, so there is a document. Can I have a copy of it? He tells me that I have to do some kind of request for information just to know what the protocol and what this document he wrote about me and my complaints with the plan. I have to request for it. He refused to give it to me, and then continued to deny there was such a document in it either.
Right. And I just spoke about that where they, Misty Kuyon, actually wrote a portion into these records, entered, as saying a real sanitized way, that didn't mention anything that they had insulted you, call your liar, when they knew they had the records in hand that you were, in fact, did attend the doctor's appointment.
And I was also chastised and punished and accused that I couldn't get back in time because they weren't providing parking for me. so after the appointment, they chastised and wrote me up for not making a meeting when they knew good and well I walked in toward the end of the meeting, and it was because I didn't have any parking. I'd been driving around for how long?
Well, this, Calvin, as you know, so the listeners know, we spoke, gave Vincent specific details. This is even after Quizon had written a letter and a note to me, mm-hmm. authorizing me to, and telling them she have authorized me to talk,
yep.
and get information.
Mm-hmm.
He still insisted on, well, it's a private matter.
Yeah.
You were there. You were present.
Yep.
This gentleman simply is playing a game with the lives of people and veterans, not just people. Mm-hmm. People that need, you know, they're not just special people.
Yeah.
It's a program that's been acknowledged. Congress set millions aside.
Yeah, because they seem like he's Mr. Vincent and like quite a few of them are hiding behind, they say, privacy, the wall of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Even when, like, say, in this case, when Tina said, gave you permission, like, say, we're going to put in writing, okay, well, I'm going to give it Mr. Cox. Carte Blanche likes to come in, check out my records, everything else. Well, we still can't do that because, again, it's these privacy issues with our staff and everything else. Well, first off, your staff is there to go ahead and provide services that's going to be beneficial to the veterans. Tina, can I ask you a question?
Yep.
You got this notice, and you're supposed to be out of there when on the 14th, Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you something. Was there anything put in place, or were you told that you were going to get support after you were terminated from this program?
No.
Financial or anything?
No, nothing.
Okay, let me publicly state this. The last time I talked to Mr. Vincent, he assured me that, and again, he was talking in general terms because he didn't want to violate your privacy or anybody else's, that anybody who is involved in these programs would be, if there's some kind of transitional thing going on, whether it's not compatible to the U.S. vets or the system or whatever it is and the client, that therefore they would do, in the meantime, what they would do is help them in the transition by providing finances to go ahead and make sure you're covered for at least a month so you can make that transition. And there was never any offer made to you about that?
No.
Okay,
now,
see, this would, again, I have a problem.
Well, they had a letter that they read to you, correct, Tina?
There is a letter that they refused to give me
No. They read a letter to you, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that was related to the eviction, correct? You there?
Yes.
So, in that letter, was there a subsequent letter after this? They refused to give it to you because you didn't want to sign it and you wanted to consult a legal counsel at first. Is that... Was that
correct? I didn't agree with the eviction, and
okay, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get sort through the. Obviously, you didn't agree if you didn't sign it, but you didn't sign it because you wanted legal counsel. You wanted to get a copy of the letter and present it to someone to give you advice.
Yes.
So they refused, did they?
Yes, they did.
So then later on, I want to walk people through this show. So she asked for the letter, and you correct me now. I with just straight answers. I don't need because they've thrown enough garbage out there to confuse everybody. So let's try to get to the point. They told you no, and then told you were going to come back and get the letter the following day or another day at 11 o'clock or something, or you would get a copy of the letter?
First they said I could get it in the morning, then they said at 11 o'clock, and then they said I had to wait for Dr. Kim Cook and get it at 3 o'clock.
And then, because you were going to meet with Dr. Kim Cook, and that was where, you're down in Punahou area, and this is were you going to meet with Dr. Cook out at Barbara's Point?
Yeah, I had to drive all the way out to Barbara's Point.
I understand. At Barbara's Point, you would have to go to Barbara's Point to meet with Dr. Cook?
Yes.
So you go out there to get the letter, and what happened?
Dr. Cook was not available.
You never got a chance to meet with her, even though they delayed it a couple of days. And so then what happened then? You finally get a copy of the letter, but then after that they gave you another letter saying that they're going to refund you your payment that you had paid to stay there?
Yes, that's correct. It wouldn't allow me to pay for one, but I've been asking several times to make a payment because I don't agree, and why should I be put on the street?
Well,
and,
Well, we understand that part. I'm just trying to get sort through the, as Calvin says, he has a very famous word for it. I won't say it. but anyway, so having dealt with that, you have the letter, and you, Carolyn talked about the, quote, investigation that is, you spoke directly to Dahlberg's subordinate. Can you tell us about what the name was and what did she tell you during this so-called investigation?
Her name was Cheryl Rabus,
mm-hmm.
and she basically said she was there to find out if us veteran clients were being served by the program.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her if she would be doing anything that I had filed contempt. She did acknowledge she was aware of the complaint, but pretty much she was just there to find out if the program was serving us. So I was able to tell her about my complaints, but I said to her, because I asked her, where does this investigation go? And she notified me that this, she reports back to Mr. Andrew Dahlberg. So at that time, I said to her, I feel like this is invalid, like it's not even a fair complaint. It's like having the perpetrator to investigate the victim.
Or investigate himself. So anyway, we'll move on to, and I'm not taking sides. I think this is, I'm interested in this, and I appreciate you for allowing me to have direct access, because it speaks mounds, tons of bad behavior. It speaks to the behavior of the Veterans Administration and what they do. We hear these stories, and I'll publicly thank you, because I saw it, and as I told you originally, I'd be hoping you benefit from my involvement, and then when we got Calvin involved, you would benefit that personally, but it would help others, because it's rare to get hands-on, first front-row seat to what these dudes will do. And the reason we see veterans out on the street today, and I'm a firm, I have this opinion, and it's engraved indelibly, is that you have people there, they're just padding their wallets, looking fancy. That goes for Ron Hahn, who's a former veteran, and anybody involved in this program. They won't talk to you. They won't talk to me. They lie on you. They set you up. They bring in people that behave in a fashion that get upset if you use God and monkey in the same sentence. That, to me, is why, and I've personally, if anyone's asking why, I mean, I know you personally. We've done videos. I've been on your show, and you had a show here at the station. But we get back to the point, Calvin, where she documents rotten meat, meat that is 4 months expired. We talked to Daryl Vinson, correct?
Correct.
About the rotten meat.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? He was adamant, right? He was upset that someone would file, give the veterans, these are veterans, these are human beings. Am I overreacting?
No, you're not. No, he did mention that, as far as the reason that he gave, is that it was, they have like expiration date, but there's a use by date, some other kind of stuff.
Right.
It was a good explanation, but it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't plausible. It wasn't. It didn't fly.
Well, what it did, he said, well, I talked to the veterans. See, the VA don't have a problem with that, because you see, the VA says that as long as it's frozen, it could meet an expiration date for, you know, unlimited amount of time.
Oh, really? But in that case, you know, the question begs to be answered. If there wasn't anything wrong with the program, why, with the meat or whatever it was initially, why did they try to go in and throw everything
out? Yeah, and he admitted that, well, Mr. Cox, Mr. Griffin, I went in and I looked at that and I was appalled.
I was appalled. Really appalled, right?
Yeah.
That you would, in fact, that we would be serving veterans. Rotten meat, not just veterans, the human beings. This is where he went on.
Yeah.
And what's in the letter? Well, Ms. Clazon, because you bothered to photograph and take evidence to show that, because you know how people lie and cover up and intimidate and evict you, mm-hmm. we have a captive audience.
Mm-hmm.
He, in turn, told you and I that he was involved and instrumental in cleaning that up, and we were right, yet... he had
also the same concerns that they have to wash down this rotten meat with expired Coca-Cola or soft drinks, as we have pictures posted on carolcox.com of that, where the drinks were expired in June of last year. And here I just took pictures of it. It was June of last year. It was expired about March. I think they decided to throw it away once Tina documented this. Yet he agreed, but what's in the letter? That she went back and took pictures of it. Mind you, the party that was handling the food that held the picture, held the meat up to have the photo taken, mm-hmm. didn't evict her.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is a case of how bad can we retaliate and what can we get away with.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Oh, what's up,
Carol? Hey, good morning, Jacob. I got a call on the other line, and I'll have to hook up with you later on, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Carol, this is Tina again. Okay. I got disconnected.
Okay. But anyway, yeah. We're just going through these things, and I mention these not in defense of you, Tina, and you can tell the listeners out there I've already shared that with you. I'm not doing this for you, and if you're wrong, shame on you, right? You can let them know that that's our conversation. But in this instance, Calvin, you and I know you went to the facility, yeah. and you visited them,
right.
and there's some problems here, and I'm going to stick to this one, not because of Quizon. Mm-hmm. But because of the many thousands and thousands of veterans,
yeah.
they left their back door open on this. This is, we get a clear image, a vivid picture of how relentless and non-caring the United States Veterans Administration is and can be and has demonstrated in this case, period.
Yeah.
I might go in and they may give me a saline for shoot me up, but it's okay. I'm willing to take that risk if I ever need them. I hope not to go to Crippler for anything.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. There's so many things that's wrong with the system. Again, I'm not backing down from anything I say. There's a lot of good people, like say, that are involved in the system, but there, unfortunately, there's some people in the system that are there to slow it down. Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when we have, with all the things that's going on, our veterans are ill-served, and I firmly believe that. I believe, that the system is designed not to work, okay? And, it really gets to me when I turn around and I hear these people talking about how much we love the veterans and blah, blah, the whole nine yards. The VA is screwed up, and it has to be changed.
And they're extremists, they're superior, and they think they're more than we are because I've read them in the King's language, in English, and asking them. I've made phone calls to them. And this lady, Tracy Betts, the director of the U.S. Veterans, I don't know her department.
She's the regional director for the...
I can call my local drug dealer, the one that sells illegal drugs, and talk to him quicker than he called me back. She sits on a pedestal. She sits in the ivory tower. She allowed on her watch, and so is Ron Hahn, or whatever his name, and Governor Abercrombie, and Colin Kippen, knowingly participate in the program, has never yet to ask, well, if we have 20 beds, where are we with the 20 beds?
Yeah.
What do you mean you only have six? What the heck are we sitting here eating shrimp and barbecue and drinking out of champagne glasses when you're not delivering? Who the heck do you think you are? We don't socialize with people that take our money, taxpayers' money, and stroke us, and then when you get to abuse our veterans... Wrong, Mr. Vincent. You're no longer the COO. You're on the choo-choo-choo train. Out of here. Get out of here. Bye. Go on.
Oh, got a call.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. You can let it right off. Going that choo-choo train out of here. It reminds me so much of that makeshift shelter. I remember Jason on a regular basis. He has state representatives, he'd take me on a tour. Well, whenever I'd see that, I'd follow him in my wheelchair. And he said, Dave, you can't be with us. And I said, what? I mean, I can't give my opinion and voice on things. He says, the confidentiality. Confidentiality for what? These are public representatives, and they want to find out the truth. And they don't need to just know your version of the truth.
Right.
And I said, you know, and by the way, I can get a couple dozen folks in this place that will be happy to tell you another truth. You know, but of course, it's acting was okay. Dave, if you don't get out of here, I was gonna have to call the police on you. You know.
Really?
I mean,
you know
that.
They love to call the police on the people less fortunate than the homeless. They
we're stupid stuff. Anyway, we're reeks of that place, too.
That place was never
more than about 30% full. There was about 30% of vacancies. And I would question Darlene. I said, Darlene, why is it so empty? I heard that people are wanting to get in the shelter really bad. They want a shelter. And she says, well, we have a process we have to go through. I said, what? How? And I said, you know, and it never gets about 70%. Sometimes even more. And she said, well, you know, we can't just put anybody in here. We have to have this process. And you know, of course, the same kind of stuff that you all are dealing with. And,
but now, Dave. We talk about the police, but you have good experience with the police over there, or the ones in Kailua where you are, right? They don't all run up and respond to Darlene or never. They treat you guys over there with some respect.
Sure.
You know, Dave's wife is in the park living there and debilitated. And some of the stories he tells about the police reaching out. So it's not, I don't want to sit here and demonize it, but the thing is, the police is only responding as they're.
Oh, yeah, they're responding to any call that comes in, you know.
They can't sit there and go, well, okay, but. But these guys have learned to use the police, these guys being the situations such as the veterans, they threaten to go to the high authorities if you stealing a creamer and this and that and whatever. But anyway, okay, Dave, I'm getting some feedback, so anyway,
okay.
I'll talk to you later.
I mean, this has to be exposed. I mean, you know what? I've come to a conclusion that this is all about public relations.
Right.
You know, look so good. There's 3 pieces of fried shrimp or whatever, and cocktails, you know?
Right.
And make it look like, oh, look at we're doing. Well, here's what the thing. When I found out that Jason was doing an approval thing at that, a video at the shelters with the big smile and saying, yeah, I really helped the homeless.
Hold on. Good morning, call. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking my call. I've been listening to the program since you've been on the air. Very interesting. And listen to Miss Tina Colon, her documentation of what's going on at the YWCA and the offices of this non-for-profit organization that seems to be run locally, I guess, by Mr. Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like from what your investigation and from the cooperation from Mr. Griffin,
mm-hmm.
that and his witnessing what you've investigated, that he has been a whistleblower. The fact that they're serving drinks and food that has expired, and even though he was anecdotally, I guess Mr. Vincent told that, well, you know, you can sell food if it's frozen beyond that state. But this is for public consumption. I don't think I don't know the law, but I think it's inappropriate anyway, even if it's, you know, even if it's legal.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste a lot of your time because I know you have a lot more to talk about in relation to this, specific to this. From what I can see, you've done a lot of, and also Tina, she's written Tulsi Gabbard, and I think she contacted Kinseki, and you've done a lot of investigation. My question is to Mr. Griffin.
Yes.
My understanding, sir, is that you're a veteran advocate?
Yes. Well, you can call myself an advocate, but I've been involved with the veterans issues for quite some time. I was involved with a number of different organizations, which I found to be ineffective. And I'm no longer a member, and I created my own organization. But basically, I'm just out there on my own looking out for using the resources I have to look out for the interests of veterans. You know.
I commend you for starting your own organization and being out there looking for the interests of the veterans.
No, thank you very much.
My question to you is, are you planning on trying to escalate this forward?
Oh, yes.
With your organization?
Yes.
And what would be possibly... Your outline of what how you're going to escalate this.
Well, right now, I'm sorry. Okay. What we're planning to do with this, again, things are coming to a head where we really have to take the gloves off and go for it as far as addressing these different issues. Anyhow, there are a number of different people out there, like I call grassroots organizations or small spots, where we're starting to connect the dots and things are starting to gel. We are going to hold these people accountable. The members of my organization, they're behind me 100%. We're all going to be working on this together. But no, this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as as far as ramping up things and make you more aware of what's going on. Because we have an obligation, even myself as a veteran, but also as a citizen, we have an obligation to our veterans and our military personnel to make sure that we look out for their rights when they can't speak up for themselves or their voices are stifled. But yeah, no, this is just the beginning.
Well, let me say this, and I believe you. And when you talk about the metaphors, taking the gloves off, connecting the dots, tip of the iceberg, and our organization is going to look into this, those are talking points. Now, let me be criticizing.
No, please.
Can you say anything specific as far as hiring a lawyer? Is your organization going to try to, or the Civil Liberties Union, or some type of entity, legal entity, that can help your organization look into this matter, that can escalate it farther up the food chain with the federal government and this particular organization?
Yeah.
It has to start with this particular organization, where obviously they're doing things wrong. They're discriminating against her because she's a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's basically what they're saying.
Right.
And she's uncovering things that are going wrong with the fact that they have the 15 beds or 20 beds, and they've only got five filled. And when she leaves, then and the food, and then having an employee taking her and other people there to church and hand out pamphlets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She has a friend that was on there talking. Her friend seems to be very aware of what's going on, and her friend seems to be more of an advocate of trying to do something legally for her than, I would say that your organization has been doing that. I'd like to know specifically what are your organization going to do in a concrete way.
Okay.
Because I could sit up all day long and talk about connecting the dots and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, legitimate question. Actually, like I said, with my organization, our financial resources are very limited, but the thing is we do have some contacts out there. Carol has more legal contacts than I do. But as far as sitting here and giving lip service, this is what I'm going to do, that and this, that, and everything else, it's all in the action. And the only thing I can say is for the past decade, as far as my actions, what I've been trying to do within the military community or the veterans community, I think we've been effective. But there's still, even as much as I try to do, there's more that I could do also. But the thing is, I'm not going to sit here and publicly say, okay, this is what has to be done, and not follow up on it. So only thing I can just say is I can give you my number, and I always talk about things in public. I don't believe in talking about things off record. But if you want to follow, like say, what I'm going to do or my organization or what's going to be gelling within the the near future about positively addressing this issue, then please, stay tuned and keep in contact, and I'll tell you exactly how it's going to go, and everything we do will be public.
Well, for this situation here, I guess Calvin's been quite active in this. This is one of these rare occasions where, and still a quote from you, catch them with their pants down, paint their butts.
Yeah.
Well, and in this case, when our brother of different mothers, you and I mean, again, I'm offended because knowing what he will resort to in impugning the integrity of an individual, this is a veteran, attacking this person, squandering the money, that not delivering the product that he had agreed to, and then being allowed to do it, and then in concert with the U.S. veterans, go back and cover it up. This is when we all need to park our cars, sharpen our pens and pencils, and get to talking and ask for them, give them the boot. You know, we don't need to talk anymore. And in this case, my request would be that the people call the governor. If nothing else, tell the governor, we want to know, why is it that Ron Hahn would allow anything like this? Why is Tracy Betts? And call Shinseki. Why does he write back? Or his people write back? Is your case does not arise to the occasion of this level of the ivory tower. See, this crap has been going on for years, and it's that's why I'm interested in this.
Yeah.
I am really, I mean, not lip service.
Yeah.
You take the, and you were there with me, and you saw firsthand that this man agreed with all that we said and agreed with the evidence, and he said, I'll go back and I'll, you're right, Mr. Cox. Then in turn, would lend himself to such conspiratorial practices. For example, the young lady is a client, a 15-year-old girl is a client at the YWCA in the same structure,
right.
Different program. This young lady leaves her iPad sitting in a chair or a sofa or whatever, and someone, another client in the YWCA program, not the, we don't know who it was, stole the iPad, missing for a couple of days. The mother of that child called me. She's from Western Samoa. She was concerned, you know, and they have a different approach. Called me and said that, and this is what she, these are the YWCA, Young Women's Christians, or whatever they, Academy, I don't know what they call them, so, but there, it's something to do with Christianity. Someone in that program, Rhonda Jones, I think the name was, had recovered, supposedly, purportedly recovered the iPad, but didn't tell the mother. The mother said she was going to talk to me, and this religious person, or I guess, I don't know if it's required, you got to be a Christian to work there. She told the mother, per the mother, this is conveyed to me, F that idiot. Don't talk to him. Right? So then asked the mother for, earlier, the electrical cord, because the battery on the iPad had run down.
Yeah.
Took the iPad, deleted that child's music. This child is a musician. That child lives in this shelter, had recorded all of her music, and some pictures that was, you know, and all kinds of things. Someone, and she deleted them. Then gave it back, and the explanation was, we deleted everything because we didn't want you to know who it was that stole it. Now, moving forward, this is the same people now, for some strange reason, felt it necessary to go back and review their videotape to see Tina Quizon taking two creamers from a refrigerator. The mother wanted to file a police report. She reports that they didn't want to file a police report, that the administration did.
Yeah.
Now, how is it that Daryl Vincent's people made their way to this program and to meet with Rhonda Jones and talk?
Right.
Who initiated the act for? So this is this this process that is just evil.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the betterment of the veterans or betterment of homelessness. Has nothing to do with this. These are people who have gotten too fancy, too heavy in the butt with the wallet. They're not going to do anything. And talk, we need to now just, and like with your organization, the sky's the limit on this one. We caught them with their pants down. We know where their tricks are.
The thing is, this has been, and I don't like talking about myself, believe me, I don't like tooting my own horn. I'm not saying I'm doing that at this particular time, but for 10 years now, my past radio program, I'm on the Veterans Council, you know, these issues I bring it up with Betts, I bring it up with Hahn, I bring it up with all these different people about certain programs that supposedly
And they took umbrage to it one time when they said, well, they have this, we got this new program coming out that's going to help the vets, blah, blah, and everything else. The question I have, is this just another placebo? Is this going to be something that's going to go ahead, just the effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get any answers. I've been in Washington, you know?
Yeah.
Things that I, you know, not only me, there's other people out there that are doing a hell of a lot, excuse me, a heck of a lot more than I am, you know, that are for the vets anyhow, and but they don't get the recognition, you know?
By the way, you and I are being foul-mouthed here. You know it's Mother's Day.
Yeah. Oh,
you forgot?
I'm sorry, Mama.
Wash your mouth out, boy.
I apologize.
By the way, happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. And we really mean the true mothers, you know.
Yeah.
So, again, this is something that I'm wedded to this one. I'm married to this issue because it's rare to get front seat from the start and then talk to Darryl Vincent and see him, and then you know when he's wrong when he appealed to the race, you know, talking about playing the race card. Come on, we are brothers. We you know, we break bread together and we can, you know, No, 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 no. We're in America. You and I understand that. We love the flag. I mean, in fact, you were going to wear your flag shirt today, but you decided not to. I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
But to resort to that is nothing more than a deflection.
Yeah.
We want to appeal to our African spiritual, whatever it is. And I mean, Calvin, I sat there, and by the way, he bought us lunch.
It was nice of him. It was a good lunch.
Yeah, but it was hard swallowing and wanting to sit there and go, brother, we're from different tribes.
Yeah.
We might be brothers. We might have, but when you behave in this fashion and you project on people, this woman, this veteran, and you don't have any shame, and one after the other, sharing with him the facts and how insulting it is to tell the party that you took two coffee creamers, and then he's saying, oh, yeah, well, it's good. I'm going to go back there and straighten that out. That is absolute. I can't believe.
Yeah.
And then send her a letter with that in there. And then make the claim, that's not my decision. It's Dr. Cook's decision.
Yeah, there's too much passing the buck. Every time I turn around, it's the VA told me to do this, or this thing is in prison.
Yeah.
Give me a break here. The bottom line is, no matter who it is, if you're in a position of responsibility, like say, to take care of the veterans or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and you see something wrong, if there is a problem and you identify it, fine. I mean, either you're part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And too many people are here are part of the problem. You know?
Well, take, for example, his interest in the meat. So let's just say, I don't know the circumstances with him, involving him, but let's just say I get a contract, you and I get a contract with the government, and they give us a good portion of them, $28 million. And we see that, okay, we're going to have to house 20 people, and I don't know the deadline, I don't know the conditions, but you know, we could save some money. Let's go over to the food bank.
Yeah.
And we won't, you see, the Ron Hahn and all the other top people there, that the untouchables, decide to turn their back on this situation. And so he says, well, you know, I go to the food bank. We'll go over there and get donated food. And you got to feed part of your program, I'm assuming. The government require us to, we say we're going to shelter and clothe and house these veterans and prepare them for to transition. So we're going to give them food. Well, I can go to the food bank. Well, if I go to the food bank, maybe I may have to pay a nickel on a pound or something.
Yeah.
But I get to save a couple $1,000. Then I go to some beverage company and I get some expired drinks. Sort through the garbage can or whatever. I'm not saying they did this, but I'd be inclined, because I got a large portion of $28 million. And then in turn, Veterans Administration don't care. They just hand it off and be able to show up at these fancy meetings and dinners and what have you, and brag and hang out with the governor.
Yeah.
And the reality is, I, as a recipient of that grant, get to pocket that money. I get to then send it to higher up. And we all live happily ever after. You and I, we move into Kahala and buy us a nice home. And then when we get one nail that sticks up out of the plank, called Tina Quezon, who would take a picture and dare to make a statement to say that this is wrong. You can't feed me rotten meat. You can't leave my medical records. You can't lie to me. You can't. You're not delivering. Oh, we got something for you, Tina Quizon. That's what it's about.
Right. But see, the thing is a little bit different with Tina's thing right now. Tina has, she had access to the airwaves when she was doing the radio program. She's active with a Lolo, all right? So she's in the media, all right? That's one of the reasons why that scared are disturbing them right now, because she does have access, like say, through your program, what I'm trying to do, and some other things also. There are many thousands of others out there, thousands of males, thousands of Tina Quizones out there that have been hammered down because they didn't have access to the airways, because they didn't have access to the doorways to the people that could answer their questions.
Good morning, Callie. You have a comment or question?
This is Carolyn again.
Hi, Carolyn. Real quick, we're going to get down to you waited a long time. Come on up.
I know. Well, the one thing that I wanted to point out that maybe your listening audience doesn't realize, and that is these veterans also pay into the program. It's not just a handout from the government, that each one, according to their ability, have paid for that. So there's no excuse for them to be using outdated meat. And that's one of the things I did bring up in the meeting, was that I could not understand why they were using these two creamers as one of the reasons to evict her. I said, I thought this was a shelter. I thought you were supposed to be a creamer. But see, the thing is, they don't say in their allegation that it's creamer. They just say that she stole.
Right.
So it's preposterous, and I guess that's all I'm going to say.
Right. Yeah, and that's the
thing, for bringing this up and giving Tina a partial day in court, because I cannot believe that they are going to evict her.
Well, they may, but they now should find a bedroom for me, because they're stuck with me. No. I mean, this is bad.
No, this is definitely not going to go away.
But anyway, thank you, Carolyn. Tina, you're there. You got a comment real quick?
Yeah, these are the meanest, nastiest people you're ever going to meet. And if they can do this to me, they can do this to Brenda Lee, who was an active reservist. If they can do what they did to Frieda, they're going to do this and continue to do this to other veterans. They're stealing from the government, using government equipment to take us to churches, and where's the justice in that?
Right. Well, speaking of Brenda Lee, this is an active duty reservist who was assigned or deployed to Bellows for training.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the program. She had to go there for, I guess, 14, 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
They told her, no, you're going to have to leave the program and be homeless and then reapply or reenter some other way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. Two, they say that, and we're down to the last minute, they say that to Tina that she contacted the media,
mm-hmm.
number one.
Mm-hmm.
She contacted the media. So that's one of the reasons that she was being reason for eviction. Yet, as I told Daryl Vincent,
mm-hmm.
you were there, Calvin,
mm-hmm.
That Frieda
mm-hmm.
and Elaine or
Eleanor
had appeared on the show,
yeah.
speaking out on the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Where is their eviction?
Mm-hmm.
So this process lent itself to prosecution,
mm-hmm.
Giving punitive punishment to
yeah.
Tina,
uh-huh.
and then they took pictures with one of the Tuskegee Airmen off the facility.
Uh-huh.
Went back. Tina posted hers on her website.
Uh-huh.
Eleanor posted the same picture, similar picture, on her Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? They didn't call it, but they say that Tina had posted pictures,
uh-huh.
and they were vaguely concerned.
Yeah.
So, anyway, real quick, we've gone down to the last minute. So,
okay. No, the bottom line is, like, you know, for Tina and anybody else out there, like, say, the thing is, and anybody, like, say, concerned about veterans of the military, stay on top of this. Like, say, do what you can, and, like, say, call your elected officials. Let them know you're not happy with this. You're not going to stand for it.
And the company and nonprofit is U.S. Veterans. The COO is Daryl Vincent. So when you see him in the newspaper, call the newspaper and ask, why does he get to be so famous, and yet nobody's asking, is he delivering? They're propping him up, and I know factually he's not delivering. There's 20 beds supposedly promised, only 6 are filled.
So, Tina, real quick, one minute, less than a minute.
I would hope everybody would come out and join me. I'm going to be sign waving on Monday and Tuesday. I would hope everybody would come and,
where are you
and
gonna
stand
be?
With me at the YWCA, which is a partner.
Where?
Punahou and Wilder.
Okay, what's
Punahou,
the phone number?
Right across.
What's the phone number for you? They can call you real quick.
808-386-1021.
386-1021. Okay.
And thank you for doing this for all the veterans. This isn't just for me.
Well, got that right. Well, but I hope Mr. Vincent and Ron Hahn and Tracy Betts and Shinseki, well, they wouldn't listen to this low with it. Okay, but anyway.
Homeland Security.
All righty. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. We apologize for all the technical things, but it was a joy having you, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you,
Sunday morning.
If you make requests, I'll